It is always a great pleasure to welcome John Sheehan to the program to discuss all things Adirondack Council. John, how are you?
I'm great, Joe. Thanks. It's been way too long since I've talked to you on the show.
I know. It's been a long time, and mm-hmm. I thank you very much for being here and for talking to us. So we've been talking about on Fun Drive Time about raising money for WAMC, and you have been helping us out for years and years with these carbon certificates. And, you know, as good as I try to interpret the information that you provide for us, I'm not sure I ever quite get it right. But give us a little bit of a story of how this started and where we are right now on this.
Well, I think we are at the point where we've retired now about 16,000 tons worth of these, a lot of that with the help of WAMC's listeners. And that's something that will make an impact long term in terms of how much carbon in the air and it is allowed to be emitted from electric power plants. And on a day like today, when we've got such beautiful blue sky, it reminds me of what New York's air used to look like 30 years ago before any of these programs really began. And, you know, like this, we'd be getting pretty dirty air out of Canada from the Sudbury coal-fired power plants up there and from the smelter. And when the wind was blowing directly from the west, we'd get pollution out of the Great Lakes. And from the southwest, the Ohio Valley. So we were very rarely seeing days as beautiful and blue as this, and it's starting to happen more frequently now. So it's gratifying to see that happen because the work that we've been doing over that time.
So how is it? What stage are we in this initiative?
Well, the initiative began back in really discussion stage in 2003, but during the Pataki administration became a reality where 10 states got together and decided that they were going to voluntarily reduce their carbon from electric power plants. And we are now in the 14th year of that program, and every year we've seen carbon reduced by about 5% in the region. To see a very significant reduction from the power plants, and I think that we're setting an example that the rest of the country could pretty easily follow. I think it's pretty clear that we've done a good job without making power bills go up at the same time. And really, the cut in carbon has had some benefits for other pollutants at the same time. Just affect human health a little more quickly.
When you look at this nationally, how many similar programs are there out there, and how does this fit into really a national program?
Well, there is a small program in Chicago that allows the trading of carbon credits. And there is the California program that goes beyond power plants. But on the national level, we briefly saw the federal government start to regulate carbon during the Obama administration as they started the Clean Power Plan. That was very quickly repealed by the Trump administration, and we're working with the Biden administration now on a replacement for that. Affordable clean energy rule that the Trump administration replaced the Clean Power Plan with accomplishes almost nothing in terms of mandatory carbon reduction, whereas the Obama plan would have resulted in at least a 32% cut from power plants. So we'd like to see something like that as quickly as possible, and we think that the federal government can make that happen with relatively good economic consequences as well. This is really a job creator, Joe. Anytime you're making a fundamental change in what people are burning to make electricity, it can put a lot of people to work.
Which is great news, of course. So let's talk for a moment of how it works. So for people who call up and they make their pledge, how ultimately does it work?
We go to a regional auction at Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, and we buy 1,000 allowances at a time, essentially competing against the electric power plants and take those allowances off the market. So every 1,000 that we buy, we make a pledge never to put them back onto the market. And people who help us retire those, making it either small contribution to WAMC, or they can do it directly through us if they like, when the fund drive's not going on. And we will, in their name, send out a certificate commemorating the retirement of that carbon allowance and make sure that that never gets back into the hands of somebody who can use it to create pollution.
What has the reaction been from the said polluters?
At first, they were very unhappy about this, Joe. As you might imagine, they had designed the rules so that you had to buy at least 1,000 allowances at a time, specifically to keep non-power companies out of the market. I think they felt that it would be not affordable for individuals to do that, and that's largely been correct. But we felt that if we could pool some money from donations we had already received from people that wanted us to try this, that we could take a significant number off the market and help people retire them permanently. And it's really been gratifying to see how well that's worked over the years.
In the moments that we have together remaining, give us a sense of what else the Adirondack Council is working on right now.
On the federal level, we're seeking a Department of Energy grant to rehabilitate the state's pollution monitoring system. The Government Accountability Office did a study in 2020 showing that the system was really antiquated and needed to be replaced. This is something that's really very much self-defense for New York, in that this network has given us the information that we've needed to get things like the cross-state air pollution rule in place and help to amend the Clean Air Act in our favor. So we really need this information to continue to be collected and interpreted by scientists who can tell us whether we're having a beneficial impact on air quality or not. And that's been very important to the park over the years, and I think will continue to be. On the state level, the invasive species law that prevents people from essentially carrying unwanted non-native species from one lake to another on their boat and trailer is about to expire, and we'd like to see that made permanent and the Department of Environmental Conservation given the authority to require inspections inside the park before someone launches in any Adirondack water. The idea here is that the current law that makes it illegal to transport invasive species from one lake to another is about to expire at the end of the month, and we'd like to make it permanent and give DEC a little more authority to ensure that we can keep our lakes healthy in the Adirondacks.
All good work. And John, it's always a pleasure to partner with the Adirondack Council. And we thank you so much for your wonderful support for so many years working on the fund drive. And I know it's something our listeners are very passionate about. And we thank you so much for helping us during our time of need as well. John Sheehan, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. It's great talking to you, and thank you to your listeners for your generous support.
Thanks, John. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.